You're listening to the Green Lantern Spotlight, episode 12 for July 2009.
A thousand years ago, green fire, so hot. A carving and a man and a super plan, and his name was Alan Scott. A man without fear, and that's for sure. He got his ring from Alphinsor. He fought all the evil hordes, and he's the real one, Hal Jordan. Green Lantern! Green Lantern! Green Lantern!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast. The Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast is hosted by the Green Lantern Corps, where you can find the latest news and talk about it on their forums. Check them out at the www.thegreenlanterncorps.com and tell them the Spotlight sent you. I'm your host, Ryan Reed, webmaster and host of the Green Lantern Spotlight, and yes, warden coordinator extraordinaire. Yes, yeah, I'm lying. Anyhow, we got a great show here. We are on the first of the Blackest Night podcast. Yes, the time has finally arrived after 2 years. It is Blackest Night time. So for that, I've raised the undead. We all have no lives, so it wasn't such that difficult. So I'd like to welcome, of course, Kuhan, host of the Real View podcast, and as well as Kuhan Reviews over on YouTube. And Kuhan, how are you doing tonight?
Now, this looks like a Japanese, so everybody, just follow me, because we need a little controversy, because it feels so empty without me.
Hi, Jado.
Okay, Eminem.
Starring Kuhan's mom.
I like the mom at the end.
I'm going back to my room. She's like, where are you going?
That's the icing on the cake, right?
We don't need blooper reel. That's just live. And, of course, the master of who would kill his boss and enslave him as fast as Black Hand, Rainer 2814. How are you doing there, Black Hand times two?
Hey, you over there. You shall be a new Black Hand.
What?
I don't
get it.
And, of course, the original guy with no life, Muzard. How are you doing, Mew?
We just want the ring. Why can't they give us the ring?
We want the Black Lantern rings.
The Fat Lantern. Give you the ring.
And of course, the guy who's shaking his head at us all, wondering why and why Final Crisis still doesn't make sense, W.S., co-host of the Speedster. So, how are you doing, West?
I'm better now.
West is going to go postal on people one of these days because of us.
The Red Lantern Ring. And, of course, finally, our sponsor, host of the Green Lantern Corps, and just the man who can book any Green Lantern creator, Andrew NDB. How you doing, Andrew?
The Blackest Night is nigh.
Or Jeff Johns, that is.
Crickets.
Still waiting for the brightest day.
Yes. All right. Well, we got a nice little thing here we'll review. So, of course, we will start with the biggest Green Lantern news in quite some time here. So, Kuhan, give us the biggest Green Lantern news playoff.
That's right, real sound effects.
Wow.
The number one spotter.
Yes, we're all on lemonade now, folks. Anyhow, well, it's official. Ryan Reynolds is Hal Jordan in Green Lantern the movie.
Which they would already know if they listened to the bonus cast.
Exactly. Anyhow, the upcoming Green Lantern movie had been narrowed down to three. Bradley Cooper, Ryan Reynolds, and Justin Timberlake. Uh-huh. Variety, THR have both converted. It's Ryan Reynolds who has ended up in the role, making him the only male actor to play both a Marvel, as Deadpool, and a DC superhero. This ends the intense months-long search that is conducted by Warner Brothers, director Martin Campbell, and producers Donald D. Line and Greg Berlanti, as they can't come to an agreement until today. Reynolds is the first set to star as the indie one-man thriller Buried before moving to shoot Green Lantern down in Australia. The studio is still working on the budget, which was rumored to be at least $150 million. Can you have me some? Anyhow. But production is expected to begin in January. The first choice, they said, was Chris Pine, but he didn't turn out. And fanboy favorite Nathan Fillion didn't make the cut either. But oh well, because Reynolds is perfectly fine second choice, although it means he probably won't ever play The Flash anymore. Oh. I have a feeling we'll all be saying that Campbell made a damn good choice come next year. But is he a good choice? And that's the Green Lantern movie news. Well, I like Ryan Reynolds. I always have. I think he's a very talented actor and comedian. I've loved him in, you know, everything from Van Wilder to Deadpool and Wolverine. So I have no arguments with him.
Wait, hold on. Spectrum is Wade Wilson and Wolverine, not Deadpool.
You have a point. Anywho, but yeah, I'm just going to see how this goes because, you know, he might surprise us. I mean, as Ron Mars mentioned in our other podcast, you know, hey, look what happened with Heath Ledger as the Joker, and that just turned out pretty amazing. There.
Christian Bale and Tobey Maguire and who's the last one? Daniel Craig as James Bond.
Right, exactly. So we'll see what happens. Kuhan, I know you want to say a couple more things, so go right ahead.
First of all, I was gonna ask. Who the female was. Then I realized Halle Berry. But anyways, it's a lot better than Justin Timberlake, that's for sure. I haven't seen very much of Ryan Reynolds' work, but I liked him as Wade Wilson, and I think that's all I've seen with him, except for that cameo in Harold and Kumar.
Right.
Oh. Just then, I checked on Dan DiDio's 20 questions. He mentions Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern has been one of his personal choices for a while now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. He likes him as an actor and thinks he has a great personality and he'll be a gangbuster.
Wonder if he pushed for that.
I wonder.
I like Chris Pine. That would have been a good choice too. But
I would have been okay.
DiDio in the background with the fingers.
I wouldn't have been excited about Pine, but I would have been able to live with that. Sure.
But, you know, Reynolds is definitely a good actor from what I can tell. And, I'm excited to see what he brings to the role. At least we finally have a solid casting.
Right.
That's something. That's all I have to say.
We didn't want it to end up like Duke Nukem forever. It's coming! It's coming!
Right. What about you?
We didn't want it to end up like the GL Spotlight website.
Oh! And on that subject, Ray, what do you think?
You know what? I have no idea what to say. I'm a stick with what Ron said earlier.
Yes.
We'll wait for the movie to come out. We'll see what happens. I'm not going one way or the other. I just wait for the movie to come out. But it is funny to think that the whole time everybody's been choosing or picking Ryan Reynolds as their favorite pick for the Flash film. It'd be hilarious just reading the Green Lantern script going, like, yeah, this is a Flash movie, right? I can understand this Flash. Yeah, Guardians of Noah. Yeah, this is all totally right. I got Wally West. Yeah, he gets a magical power ring. That's what he does, right? That's cool. Great. Sign me up.
What about
Green Lantern?
What about you, Mew?
Oh, I think it's a solid choice. I really liked his acting. I honestly didn't see him quite as Green Lantern, except for, like I mentioned before, Guy Gardner. But I think it's possible if he takes this role very seriously, just giving just enough cockiness and pompous attitude, but not enough to make him an ass, I think he could pull this role off pretty well.
Which I'm sure he's capable of.
Right.
Not all his roles are Van Wilder.
He can play smart ass, but can he play cocky jerk?
Exactly.
What about smart ass cocky jerk?
By making Muppet jokes. Wes, what about you?
I like it. As everybody else, it definitely wasn't the first pick that came to mind. But I like it. I'm a huge fan of Ryan. I've probably seen 95% of the movies he's done.
Almost as much of a fan as you are of Grant Morrison?
Not even close. But
I still don't understand Final Crisis.
I understand it.
Of course,
I'm studying to be an astrophysicist, but, you know, whatever. I understand it.
I find it funny that the people who said that are Andrew and Ray, the people who actually did understand Final Crisis.
Is that the one where Impulse goes back in time?
Anyhow, West.
One of the
things. I like the choice. I think people are worried if he can play serious, but I think people need to realize that this movie is not going to be that serious. It's not going to be dark like Batman was. It's not even going to be as dark as Batman Begins. This is going to be a lighthearted movie, and people worried about whether he can be serious should realize that we're talking about a guy flying around in a leotard.
I'm sorry. It's going to be a lighthearted movie until we see Hal's dad crash and burn and be like, oh my God, it's hilarious.
Yeah, my dad owned that plane. My dad died in that plane.
As long as it crashes with Benny Hill.
It's going to have nothing
just,
in it.
Just wait until his dad comes back as a Black Lantern flying a construct plane.
As long as his dad crashes to Benny Hill, it'd be like,
Let me ask you, Wes. Do you really think that he's going to be wearing a leotard in the movie? I mean, not literally, but is it going to be? No, it's not going to be like.
They'll probably just strip him, paint him green, and then CGI it in.
They probably would do it for all the all the fangirls and Wes.
And Wes.
I think you can expect some kind of something in between, maybe like the Hal costume from DC Universe versus Mortal Kombat, and maybe the first Flight costume, somewhere in between there.
Probably.
It's not going to be a leotard. Nah, it's not going to be.
Hopefully,
it ain't
going to be spandex.
It's not going to be leathery and shit. I expect leathery. I'm expecting more of an armor with good mobility. Kind of like the Dark Knight outfit, but not quite as RoboCop-esque.
Did you go for Guy's costume?
Oh, jeez.
No.
Or what they called Guy in what was it? In the crappy never took off Justice League.
No! I have gotten that image out of my head finally. No!
Live action faceplate.
But is it?
They could give him the Alan Scott costume.
Is it porous?
To understand that joke, be sure to check out the Daryl Banks Ron Mar interview we did. That'll be coming out pretty soon.
Is it porous? Oh, Daryl, we miss you already. Anyhow, and on that, Andrew,
does
what
it support water osmosis?
What are your final overall thoughts on the whole casting of Ryan Reynolds or RR?
This is the first choice that I've actually been excited about. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, I never really thought about him as the part until he was actually already on the table, and now it's like, oh well, you know what? Yeah, he's got a lot of comedic roles in the past, and I don't think directors ever really bothered to really try to rein him in and say, hey, yo, quit being so sarcastic and stuff. Just, you know, bring it back home more serious. I don't think anyone's ever done that, and I don't think he...
Although Hal Jordan is a bit sarcastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cocky, as Jeff would tell you, and he's, you know, I think his more...
I wish Jeff would tell us on this podcast.
his more sarcastic and wittiness in his roles, I think that's been more encouraged in directors, because 9 out of 10 times he's been in comedic movies where that's been encouraged, and he does it well, but I do think that he has the chops to pull it off. I mean, comedy is actually one of the more difficult types of material to play in, I think. And if you can pull that off, I think anything else is not going to be that hard for him to pull off. I think he's got the chops. I think he's got the look. I mean, if I was to just go off his personality, I would say that he's – if someone was to tell me, hey, here's Ryan Reynolds, you have to cast him as one of the Green Lantern parts, I would probably go with Kyle. Just based on his personality and just the way he can – his general demeanor. But as far as Hal Jordan goes, he can do it. I think he can do it well. I think that when we see him in the movie, it's going to completely change the way we think about the character. I think it's going to change the way the character is perceived in the mass media, the pop culture. I think this is big, and I think it's cool.
I think you need to be his new agent. It's gonna be big. It's gonna be awesome.
I got Ron Mars and Daryl Banks together. All right.
I think he can play the part in a big way. You sound like his agent, man.
No, I'm stoked about it. I mean, this is the first choice that I can say that I've actually been a little bit excited about. I mean, all the other ones from the Chris Pines to whoever else. What was the fucking
Justin
dude?
Timberlake.
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Forget about Justin Timberlake, the dude from fucking Terminator Salvation and Star Trek. Yes, yes. You'd rather have
he was there because he's got a good agent.
Yeah.
Want him? You'd want that dude over Timberlake? I mean, come on. There's been worse choices on the table before.
I'd want that dude over Timberlake, yeah.
Can you tell me how to recharge the Green Lantern ring?
Dude, that's the thing that you guys only saw him in Star Trek. I saw him in Charlie Bartlett. That was an awesome movie.
He looks about 9 years old.
He killed it in Charlie Bartlett, though.
He did?
Yes. He's a good actor. He's awesome in Terminator Salvation. He was awesome in Star Trek. He's wrong for the role. He looks like a little fucking kid.
You're right. He'd be Hal Jordan when he enlisted in the Air Force.
Yes. Like pre-Secret Origin, pre-Emerald Dawn. You know, this no. Oh.
I don't know. Yelchin would be my choice over Timberlake.
Pre-puberty.
Cannot be.
Yeah. He'd be my choice over Timberlake, but, you know, we've already got a casting, so let's not talk about that.
Yeah.
Talk about Sinestro, though. Sinestro.
Yeah, when we find out about that, we'll go for there. All right. Well, we'll move away from the wonderful Green Lantern news, and we'll move, of course, into the moment we've been waiting years for, The Blackest Night. I hunger.
Flesh. There you go.
Flesh. There you go.
Flesh.
Flesh.
The buzzing of flies. Anyhow.
So, but real quick. We had a discussion last week about how, what was it? Oh, yeah. How I was saying that Black Hand is like Hal's Joker. And Wes is like, no. But I was watching the iFanboy podcast, and they just, by the way, I'm going to plug that. They just had their Green Lantern episode called Black Knight's coming out. Check that out. But they said that Sinestro is like his Lex Luthor.
Ah.
Ho, ho. That's right.
With more hair.
They, sir.
Which would allow Black Hand to be his Joker.
I thought we were talking about risk. Black Hand.
Yeah, anyhow.
Okay, yeah, I could see him as his Luthor. Sure.
All right.
His main villain, the ultimate nemesis.
All right. Well, everyone, sit back as I tell you the tale, The Blackest Night number one.
I'm going to flip along with you.
Exactly. We begin in the in Gotham City, better known as Sector 2814, at the graves of Thomas and Martha Wayne, where Black Hand, holding the skull of Batman he has pulled from the grave, says, "Some things are worse than death. Some things like me." He says that he hears the voice out in space that is hungry. And then he says that, "My father said everyone dies, William. He says death is the only thing you can count on in the universe. I killed him to prove his point. Death compels because powerful or weak, love or hated, because no one escapes death. That includes you." And just then the voice says, "Yes, I am hungry." And in doing so, the Black Lantern battery in Sector 666 explodes with tons of black power rings that buzz like flies and fly across the cosmos. And the next day over in Coast City, Hal Jordan narrates that years ago, when everybody thought Superman died, they declared a national day of mourning. And since so, superhuman beings have been given their lives to protect everyone, so everyone honors their memory and those of the fallen. So in Coast City, the memories of all that had fallen from the original attack by Cyborg Superman and Mongol are remembered, as the Green Lanterns Hal Jordan, John Stewart, Guy Gardner, and of course Kyle Rayner, would, along with Cowgirl in her F-22 and other members of the Air Force, head to the downtown city to light up the No Fear power battery with their rings, as Hal Jordan talks about the people he's lost in his life, such as his father, Abnan Sur, and of course Coast City. He says he's never learned to live with it. You just becomes a part of who you are. Your only choice is to keep playing or fold, and he will never fold. He also talks about those that people have lost and loved, such as John Stewart, who he lost Catman Tui to a Star Sapphire, or later when he lost Zanshi by a mistake. Later, he talks about that Kyle Rayner lost, of course, his girlfriend Alex to Major Force, as well as Jade later on during Infinite Crisis, and that Guy Gardner is the only one that's ever gotten a happy ending with Ice. They all take off, parting different ways. Meanwhile, over in Smallville, Clark Kent, Connor Kent, and of course Martha Kent remember Jonathan Kent over at his graveyard. While over in Pittsburgh, they at the grave of Ronnie Raymond, better known as the original Firestorm, Professor Stein sits with the current Firestorm team, remembering. Soon, Manny turns around, telling them that it is raining. They should check the reports, because apparently, while it's raining, everything around them is dying. We then move over to San Francisco and Titans Tower at the Titans Memorial, where Bart Allen is arguing with Cassie about how the statue of him wasn't right, and then she said they took it down, but he agrees that they should all take it down. While over in Central City at the Arvinus Rogue Cemetery, Owen Harkness, better known as the current Captain Boomerang, reunites with the Rogues to celebrate the death of his father and as well as the other Rogues that have fallen over the years. While members of the JLI, including Guy Gardner and Booster Gold, remember Ted Kord, the second Blue Beetle. Why, over in the Valhalla Cemetery, members of the Justice League and Justice Society remember all the fallen members. Damage argues about his father, that he was left alive with a crushed naval cavity and a mangled profile after the rest of the Freedom Force was murdered during Infinite Crisis, and he can't face anyone anymore. Why, over in Amnesty Bay, Mara, the former Queen of Atlantis, along with Tempest, yes, folks, Tempest is actually alive, dwell over the graveyard of Arthur Curry, the original Aquaman. The two argue how Tempest says he should be buried at sea, but why Mara says that he found comfort in that of land and how he was cast out by his people and found sanctuary, just like he was once cast out for just having eyes. But he later says that the tomb is side by side with another great leaders of our city and his son, your son, Mara. Please give me authorization to have his remains moved. Mara says the dirt is no place, and he tells Mara that the dirt is no place for a king of the seas. We then move back to Legends Cemetery over at Gotham City, where Alfred Pennyworth is heading to leave flowers on Bruce Wayne's grave. But when he finds out the grave has been dug up and desiccated, he says, "I have made a terrible mistake." We then move to Justice League headquarters. Yes, back at the Hall of Justice, Barry Allen reunites with Hal Jordan.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Barry Allen checks all the action. Guys. Anyhow, over at the morgue, Barry Allen goes through all the people that have died and have been buried at the Justice League. Everybody from Dr. Light to John Monroe, better known as Weedle, to Maxwell Lord, to, yes, folks, Hannibal Bates, better known as Everyman. Yes, he's there. But basically, Barry asks, why do you need to put these remains in a vault? And basically, Hal talks about a body-snatching organ harvest for superpower beings, and they have to keep them safe. Barry later says the guilty have gotten guiltier, and Batman, Aquaman, Martian Manhunter are dead because of it. So who else has died? Hal does not answer first, but Barry says, who else has died while I was gone? I want to know Hal. Hal, with a heavy heart, shows him his ring of all the various heroes that have died since Barry is gone. Barry takes pause at Ronnie Raymond, and of course the worst, Ralph and Sue Digby. And he asks why and how, and Hal does not know where to start. Meanwhile, over in St. Roque, the Atom calls up Hawkman, wanted to discuss his ex-dead wife's journal. And, of course, Hawkman will not talk with Ray over that since that Jean Laurie murdered Sue Digby and later left them the attempt of suicide and that she had fallen too far from grace. Kendra Sanders tries to reason with Carter, but he will not listen because Jean is dead. But later, Kendra says that is his only friend and that he must go out and reach to him. Why, Ray sits by the phone waiting for Hawkman to answer. Meanwhile, back at the Hall of Justice, yet again, Hal and Barry talk about the love and life they have. And Barry asks, what about Carol? Hal answers, Carol's still running Ferris Air, but we haven't been together for a long time, Barry. It's better that way. We then flash over to Zamron, where Carol Ferris, as a Star Sapphire, is fighting members of the Sinestro Corps. And then soon, Alfred breaks in on the JLA frequency, telling him that he told him it wasn't safe, but he wanted to honor Bruce's wishes, but he buried next to his parents, and what has he done? Over in Oa, the Guardians of the Galaxy of the Universe notice that the War of Light has erupted, that they have failed, and that Gantlet was correct, and a dark wave is moving from Sector 666. They said they must do.
I just want to point out that you almost said Guardians of the Galaxy.
I know. Stop it. I do that sometimes. It's late. I'm tired. Anyhow, basically, they figure they must call a code black and call every available Green Lantern back to Oa. But Scar says, no, fellow Guardians, they will never receive our call for help. And they say, why not? Because it will never be made. She then sinks her teeth into one of the Guardians and bites his neck, while all the Black Greens approach Oa saying, flesh, flesh, flesh. Scar then rips out the heart of the Guardian she just attacked, while all the Black Greens break into the Crypt Keeper's sanction in Oa and start attacking all the various graves. They don't know what's going on, but as the other Guardians try to attack Scar, she tells them that you abandoned motions eons ago. Your hearts are useless, empty. All the rings meanwhile, are finding all the bodies and placing on them, each one of them saying, flesh, 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 and they're calling out various names across the universe, such as on Mars with Jean Jaz, of course, Catman Tui, Ronnie Raymond, and more and more and more. Why Scar imprisons or possibly kills other members of the Guardians of the Universe. She says, the darkness cannot feast on your hearts. They need the hunt full ones. And meanwhile, more and more dead are being placed with black rings. And finally, they say, rise! And all the black lanterns of all the dead rise on Oa Earth and many, many other places, which pretty much leads to Guy Gardner honestly saying, what the fuck? Hal and Barry are attacked by a zombie Black Lantern Martian Manhunter. Why back in St. Roque, secretly, Hawkman and Hawkgirl are attacked by Black Lanterns of the Elongated Man and Sue Digby. They attack and rip and put a spear through Hawkgirl's chest and attack and beat Hawkman to death. Why Hawkman tries to attack them saying he'll kill him, they keep telling him, no, you won't. But before Kendra dies, she says that she has always loved Carter. But while Hawkman cries out her name, he is soon attacked by Ralph and has his own heart ripped out. They then are approached by Black Hand. He says, Hawkman, Hawkgirl, you won't escape death this time. And as the Elongated Man and Sue Digby power up their Black Lantern rings on their hearts full of emotion, he says, death will take us all and the universe will finally be at peace. So ends the tale of Blackest Night number one. Fucking great issue! Yeah!
I hated this issue.
Fucking great! Rocking your Green Lantern lives. That's all I have to say. To you, Andrew.
All right. I would say it's a great issue as well. I thought this was an awesome way to kick things off. My first instinct is to compare it to the Sinestro Corps War issue, as well as the Rage of the Red Lanterns special that kicked off that arc. I think it surpasses Rage of the Red Lanterns, that special, by far, worlds above it, as far as just kicking things off and getting things off on the right note. I think I put it a little bit behind the Sinestro Corps War special, which isn't to say it sucks or anywhere in that world at all. I mean, it's awesome. It's badass. But I don't know. Something with the. I want to say it's probably the art. Not that it's bad again, but. It's
and
not
then again,
quite at the caliber of Van Sciver that issue, or with that coloring with Moose, which
admittedly,
is not to say that. Go on.
Admittedly, nothing can really live up to that reveal of the Anti-Monitor, Superboy Prime, Cyborg, Superman, Parallax, and Sinestro all in the same pose as the ultimate villains.
Which is what I feel compelled to kind of expect in this issue, which isn't fair. It's not fair at all. I mean, I guess I was kind of going into this expecting, like, the final page was going to be some big reveal of, you know, Necron or whoever it is that's going to be behind this. And there was no real big reveal.
It's because Geoff Johns can't beat himself. It's just, he can't do it anymore.
just see Necron, the Black Racer, Black Flash, the Death from the Endless, and Lucifer just all standing there, like, all twiddling their fingers together.
it's like he kept one-upping himself, and now it's to the point where he's like, I can't do it anymore. I've got nothing left.
After Time Trapper Prime, there's nothing he could upstage himself with.
Exactly. He can't do it.
But what I think is that... I think he was conscious of that, and he's changing his game up a little bit, and it kind of impressed me. It's like he knew what people would be expecting, you know, the old big reveal at the end. He didn't do it. I think he's a little bit smart in that way. I think he kind of wants to sort of ration things out over the course of the Blackest Night mini, and I think that's probably the way to go. I mean, like with the Sinestro Corps War, I thought that kind of blew its wad a little bit early. I thought after the Sinestro Corps special, it bottomed out real fast for me, at least personally. And then things got better towards the end a little bit. They picked up in Green Lantern 25, obviously. And then
Hollywood
that was it.
Middle.
Yeah. And then it didn't really have a big conclusion for me, but nevertheless, it picked up a little bit at the end. But with Blackest Night, I think he's taking all the ammo he's got with the story, and he's going to kind of spread it out amongst the many. And that's probably the best way to go. I was very impressed with what he laid out here. Very riveting story. It really carried things along, and we saw the Black Lanterns rise up on Oa, which was cool. I was really expecting to see more of a massive uprising, like, everywhere. But I guess that's in number two and Green Lantern, the next issue, and so forth and so on. But what we saw was very good. We didn't really learn a whole lot about the Black Lanterns like I thought we might. We did learn about the whole, you know, they pull out a heart and they of a person that's experiencing certain emotions, and they absorb the heart and it brings their power level up one increment at a time until eventually they reach 100%. And the obvious question is, what happens when they reach 100%? Which is something to wonder about, and that's one of the cool things to walk away from a comic, obviously, is to have a lot of questions like that, and it makes for a good discussion, and, you know, as you await the next issues. It's a good beginning. What can I say? It's good. I like it.
All right. What about you, Wes?
I liked it. I had a few problems with it. I'll get into that just a bit, but positives, I love the art. I thought Ivan did his thing on this. I do think whoever the colorist was, I think it was Sinclair.
Sinclair.
Yeah, he could have did a little better. But the splash page with Hal Berry and the dead constructs, beautiful.
Oh yes.
It just didn't feel like an event to me though. It went from person to person, the place to place, covering the DCU. It just didn't feel, okay, this is Blackest Night. This is important right here. I got excited when I saw Firestorm's little split personality girl talk about the dead flower. I thought that was a nice little touch to bring in on the death.
And the dead fish in the sea too.
Oh yeah.
Right. And I thought that it was tidbits like those and the way the Black Lanterns can detect emotion. I thought that was great. But it was so many things wrong with this issue that just bothered me. First, the Hawks. DC doesn't know what they're gonna do with these characters. Period. They don't know if they want them alive or dead. So I thought killing them in this issue really showed favoritism, not any reason other than that they died in Final Crisis.
I can barely remember that.
they told Dwayne McDuffie, no, they're not dead, just so Jeff can kill them in this issue. Yep.
That's right. There was that one issue of JLA where, remember when Roy was at the cemetery?
Yeah, yeah.
McDuffie was wrote that thing about how pissed he was that his story got changed and all the dramatic effect was lost. And it was because he was supposed to be at the grave.
It's hilarious how freaking Red Arrow, Kendra.
He's talking about, she's injured, but why are you in the cemetery then? What's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
Just randomly hang out at the cemetery.
Remember when? Anywho.
Kendra's doing good in the hospital, but here I am.
In the cemetery.
Yeah, and I loved the touch from that Jeff did towards the Nightwing art. That was great because I'm one of the few who did read that art. I still don't see that as a reason to keep dead bodies in the Hall of Justice, but whatever. It's not
and be harvesting organs.
That and it's not even in alphabetical order or anything. It's just a list of names.
Right. Are
they going to rearrange it every time they add someone?
They pull out their body
and slide someone else in, skid them on down.
It's not like they have a flash on hand 24/7 to say, find Arthur Light. I don't know.
How are they going to pull those bodies out?
Maybe it's just like spin
the body.
Is this really what you're complaining about?
Yeah, it's if you're going to put it there, make it make sense, and it didn't make sense. Why is Maxwell Lord's body important enough to be sitting there? He's not a supervillain. He's just a guy.
Oh,
he killed Blue Beetle.
He had superpowers, remember?
Mind control.
He was controlling Superman. That's why Wonder Woman had to break his neck, because if he was allowed to live, he would have kept on controlling Superman, and that would have been bad news.
I guess I don't keep up with losers. I love Scar.
That was a big thing. Like, it was the entire thing of, like Wonder Woman, everybody hated Wonder Woman because she killed Maxwell Lord.
I remember it. It's just lame.
They would have really been complaining if they got killed by Superman from Maxwell Lord.
Yeah.
That's true.
You seem to know the reasons behind it.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me finish up. Scar is still my favorite character in the Green Lantern books right now.
She is evil.
She is kicking ass. I expected the Guardians to be killed by Hal, not Scar. So I thought that was amazing. That came out of nowhere. The Black Lantern rings going into the crypt. That was even better. I expected it to happen, but they kicked Morrow's ass. And then the little splash page like panels that we saw in DCU Zero. Yeah. I like the touch seeing that again.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a pretty good issue. Oh yeah, and Black Lantern Chip, beautiful.
Yeah, that was great.
And Black.
That was
better not have a bowl of nuts.
Is Buzz on there?
Yeah, he was. He's on the right corner, right there. He looks like the evil dead fly of hell.
Look at your face.
I like the touch when he described the rings. How the rings buzz when they're flying. Sounds like
flies. That was a great moment.
You imagine like a million rings all saying flesh simultaneously. I guess it would be kind of a zzz or something.
Yeah.
You just see a bunch of them buzzing around a pig's head as it talks.
There are flies going around the corpse.
Right.
I'm looking at this really closely for the first time, and I'm seeing like this General Kryon there, and like the guy who got his head shot in like Sinister Corps War 1.
The guy who looks like Kilowog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was his old sector partner.
Yeah. I was wondering. I thought it was pretty impressive to see like the lady that it was like in Kyle's third or fourth issue after. No, it was the first issue after the Zero Hour where he met that girl that he banged, and then she tried to
steal his ring.
And yeah. Got pissed off when it wouldn't work. It was coded to his DNA and then killed herself.
Shot herself in the face.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive continuity right there. I didn't expect to see her again.
It's Geoff Johns. He's read every single Green Lantern issue for the past like 1,000 years. Like, ever since conception. Yes.
He was born with an issue of Green Lantern 1.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, Showcase 22.
Sometimes wonder about that.
That was this ambiotic sack. It was just an issue of Green Lantern.
Oh. All right.
I think that's a little bit too far, man.
Yeah. Anyhow, what are your final thoughts there, West?
Great issue. Probably 4 out of 5 stars. Especially because Elongated Man was amazing. That dude looks scary.
And he had a personality like Freddy.
It was great. I think that's probably the best moment of the issue, seeing him like that. Because I never cared for the character. So you got to give it a 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. And Mew, what's your thoughts?
Well, I've been waiting for this for obviously some time as the rest of us, and I'm just about to explode all my opinions and hopes and dreams. God, it was an amazing issue. It's like that time you go years of dating and stuff. You're close to that girl, and you finally get that night with her. It's like, ugh. And if you didn't know, I just fell to the ground for dramatic effect. It adds to it, I think. But anyways, and the issue was just amazing. I mean, sure, there were a few kind of slow spots, but that's to be expected. They had to build up this thing.
I thought the beginning was super slow. Sorry.
Well, it's a good setup. You need to have things set up. They reveal all these – they reveal that not only are the dead coming back, but they're coming back in this day where everyone's trying to remember them fondly. Just everyone's trying to have the special moment, trying to remember all those people they loved, and then suddenly they're jumping out of their graves coming to kill you.
I kill you now.
Yeah, really.
How's that awesome?
I mean, let me throw one thing out there. Do you guys feel this is more like Blackest Night Zero than Blackest Night Zero was?
I think Blackest Night Zero did what it had to do. I felt this was appropriate, but as for the people who don't read Green Lantern, I thought this was terrible for them. It had to be. Because it was basically no emotion to most of these characters. Unless you like Martian Manhunter, but it's probably like three people out there.
Don't hate on John.
Hey.
That's number four.
Well, with the Western reveals of all the lanterns, just seeing Ralph and Sue Dibny and actually seeing them kind of having interactions and actually like not just being mindless brains, but actually carrying a conversation. And
yeah, he hears, I smell a mystery, and then... High a winged wonder.
Like, it's like, we were a better couple, weren't we, bud?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
did Sue say anything?
I was actually kind of afraid they wouldn't have any personality.
Yeah, Sue didn't say anything.
Well, she just killed someone. You have to give her a minute.
They must have a personality, man. Otherwise, what's the point? I mean, then it would just be cosmetic.
Yeah, it'd just be flesh.
It would be a more classic zombie stuff, but that doesn't work in
this particular. But then what's the point?
How is it not a point? It's still a mindless zombie that you care for. Now you still gotta blow his head off.
Now he's gonna ask you for mercy and pity and stuff, and then try to kill you at the instant you let it.
Don't you remember me, man? We used to hang out.
You're not supposed to be alive.
because it wouldn't be an evil zombie Earth 2 Superman. It would just be a evil zombie guy that looks like Superman. It's not the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. All the reveals, the Scar moment, I was like, she's definitely evil, yes.
She freaking bites him like a vampire.
Or like some kind of rabies-induced person, just like going nuts.
I have a little piranha.
I'm still not convinced. I'm still not convinced.
She pries open his rib cage.
And takes out his heart with no emotions.
I don't see it at all.
She never did.
I think it's all up front.
She's misguided.
She never did anything like that.
Anywho.
That's the quote of the night. She's misguided.
Yeah. Anyhow, Mew, besides Scar...
It just becomes the ultimate reveal where she realizes, oh, I just had to do that so I could get away with helping you guys. That's why I ripped out the guy's heart. It had nothing to do with the fact that he was a dick and owed me $5.
You owe me $5, Art.
She's doing it for the right reasons.
That makes this thing a whole... Thinking about that, it makes it a whole level more disturbing.
Oh, what's that go there? It's already late.
The big reveal, though, at the end with the... or the middle with the... all the Green Lantern Corps members all just coming out at once. Guy's reaction was appropriate. What the fuck?
And everybody's like, I'm gay, they're all coming out. I just made a horrible joke.
Yes, you did.
They're all coming out. I'm gay.
Yes, very bad joke. Anyhow, Mew,
please
you're a horrible
out.
Person.
Yes, Mew, your final thoughts.
Oh, my final thoughts. Just the reveal of, like, all the stuff, like, the charge. Like, they're trying to get, apparently, like, 10,000 dead bodies and hearts ripped out and sucking out their souls. And, like, all these reveals and stuff. It just got me so pumped for the next issue. I mean, what more could you ask for, you selfish bastards?
It does raise a lot more questions than it answers, but it's interesting.
Oh, yeah. It gets you.
That's the good thing. You want to be excited for the next issue. You don't want every issue to be completely resolved with no tying threads. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, if it ends on a bunch of tying threads, that might be a problem, but...
Yes, I would shit. I mean, that's no.
It's way too late for this.
you thought Blackest Night was the final in the trilogy, and it was. But now there's the next trilogy.
Not the prequel, the trilogy.
We're not wrapping shit up.
The origin of day.
Right. All right.
Falls
well,
off the brightest day mini.
How about you, Ray?
Wait, I didn't.
I'm sorry. Final thoughts, Mew. Sorry.
In the end, I have to give it a 5 out of 5 because my geek pants were soiled.
That is just wrong. Anyhow. Ray.
So good this issue was. So good. I'll tell you one thing, just to start it off. At least we finally know who that skull is on the cover. Fantastic. No wonder it strikes evil, you know, strikes freaking fear in the hearts of evil. That Batman skull.
It's the goddamn bat skull.
Yeah, exactly.
Spits at you with freaking black rings. It was freaking great. I loved this issue. And you know what? I love the slow parts at the beginning because it was a great build. It was a great build, you know, like, oh my god, we got this whole, you know, freaking day of the morning thing. We got a little explanation as to why it came about, even though it was never there before. It was a good red line. I like the whole, you know, everybody seeing, you know, every single person mourning except for the person that will eventually come up out of the ground and try to bite their kneecaps is going to be great. all these tiny little titans are going to come out going like, ah, I was only here for a second. I died.
Give me them kneecaps.
Vengeance!
Appendix.
I love the whole part where the Guardians are finally going, you know what? Oh my god, the freaking the Blackest Night has erupted. The War of Lights is everywhere. We have failed. Gantley was right. It's like, oh my god, Dad was totally right. Everything.
Aside from screwing sister, he was right.
Quickly, they forget.
That incestual bastard.
But he was right!
But he was right. We have to order the cold black. No, wait, we can't order a cold black. We'll totally get in trouble. Wait, why would we get in trouble? Because I'm going to take your heart out.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to bite you first, then rip out your heart.
Grab a little piranha.
That didn't sit well with me. It's like, oh, you're going to rip my heart out? Okay, let me stand here and let you. Okay, while everyone else just watches.
I think the surprise stunned them.
They're eon old Guardians going like, oh, wait, this can't be.
I'll give you that.
She can't be. Oh, wait, she just did.
Wait, we can't die? Oh, his heart's out. Okay, we can die.
Like, my god, our hearts are green?
Aren't they supposed to go boom when they die?
I think he was purposely self-destructing.
Yeah, he said himself, he said, what's that color? He's like, that's when we were about to die, and I gladly sacrificed myself.
Tiny little freaking exploding bombs.
Wasn't it just, quote unquote, this is how we die?
This is how we die, yeah. That's what he quoted, but yeah, but he was just showing off for dramatic effect.
Well, then again, you know, when Scar bites him.
The kids in the class.
Yeah, I mean, how did they even know how they died? They don't exactly die that often.
It's like 20 of them have died since the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, that was, remember the antimatter explosion just left them as dead bodies. They didn't explode.
Not including the Emerald Twilight. Like, right. 20 of them have died.
Crisis on Infinite Earth, they just had them just as dead bodies.
There was an entire planet. Remember this. Which eventually like splintered off and then evolved into greater things. So yeah, plenty of them have to have died. There's only like what, like six?
How would there even be a universe if all of them just kept exploding? Maltus wouldn't exist.
There goes another one.
I gotta finish my geekasm.
Yes.
Yeah. I love the whole little scene with Hal telling, you know, showing off all the dead people that have died, and I'm surprised he's has all of this in his ring and able to articulate every single one of them in great detail. What else I got? You know, I just get to the end. The whole Hawkman, Hawkgirl scenario was hilarious. I'm sorry. It was, I don't care how brutally they die, but it's like, I can't express how much I love you. I love you, Hawkman. Yeah, you can't. Don't leave me alone. But I can't. You know what? I love you. Die. That was it.
Right.
I love you.
Like, oh, heart. Shouldn't have said it. Died.
I kill you.
I kill you.
And then Ralph getting, you know, freaking beating his head. And it was all, it was him being a jokester while he was doing it. It was just a sick and demented. It was a great tone, that last part. It was just great. And then, you know, Black Hand coming out of nowhere on the side going like, ha-ha, I got your souls now, bitch. it looked like that's what he was going to say.
Yeah, it did.
Soul is mine.
And he holds a skull in his hand as if it was supposed to be like a goblet of champagne, like, ha-ha.
Your soul is mine.
And, you know, then he adds Hawkman, Hawkgirl of whatever, Tamaran or whatever, Thanagaria. You shall not rise.
Now we lost Wes.
I'll get him back in a little bit.
Tamarindo, whatever it is.
Yeah, one of those planets that, you know, one starts with C. But, you know, it was such a great issue of, you know, all the way to the end. I loved it all from beginning to end. It was like a cinema. It was like, you know, it starts off slow, gets a great build-up all the way towards the end, and then we got that surprise, even though, you know, it leads to more questions. The whole fact that they rip out the hearts and then take, I guess, an increment of power from it is still yet to be answered. And I want to see what's next.
So what's your final grade on that then, Ray?
I give it a 6.
Wow, a 6.
I didn't know we could do that.
You can't.
You break the curb.
That's rule number.
I changed mine to a 7.
And
5 stars with a Green Lantern punch in the face.
Oh! Anyhow, Kuhan, what about you?
Okay, I'm going to preface this entire review with 2 sentences. First sentence, I hated this issue. Second sentence, I give it an A. The first half of this issue was sad, it was moving, and it nearly brought me to tears. The second half of this issue was creepy beyond belief, and I almost couldn't sleep. Because I read this at midnight, right before I went to bed. And I'm like,
where all the ghouls come out.
Yeah, and I go, crap, I shouldn't have read this.
You little girl.
You know what? This almost gave me nightmares. If I hadn't been listening to Tom vs. the Flash while I fell asleep, this would have given me nightmares.
I watched A Nightmare on Elm Street when I was 6, right before bed. You can't say shit. You still reading the issue?
No, I don't know what that was. But anyways, like the thing is, and then like even like right as the Black Lantern rings are coming out, and I see all the rings going into the Green Lantern crypt, and what I thought was, oh no, Morrow, because I felt for him, because I remember reading his origin and. I don't remember what was his origin in. His origin
brother,
was in something.
Dragon.
No. I remember what his origin was. I just don't remember what it was in. Anyways, I remember reading that and I thought, not Morrow. But, you know, it was obvious, but I didn't even think of that. And, by the way, Ryan, I have to correct you on something. You said Owen Harkness. It's Owen Mercer. But.
Well, no, he took his father's name. They had it in a couple issues of Flash before Geoff Johns left again.
Face!
Sweet.
Flash fact.
Ace.
I stopped Flash.
Owned.
Owned.
Yeah, Owen Mercer was his adoptive name, so.
Screw you.
You can't. I'm in charge. Anyhow, no, I'm just kidding. Finish up there, Kuhan.
Anyways, I don't know. I really like the art in this one. I mean, yeah, it didn't compare to Ethan Van Sciver. Not like Ivan Reis doesn't compare to Ethan Van Sciver except when they're both on the same book at the same time, switching off issues, at which point Ivan Reis looks almost exactly like Ethan Van Sciver. Does that make any sense?
No.
No.
I'm talking about
when has that ever happened aside from those
25. GL 25.
I'll give you that.
In GL 25 it looked like one artist drew the entire book. And this book, it doesn't look like Ethan Van Sciver, but in GL25, the entire issue looked like it was drawn by Ethan Van Sciver.
Well, this issue wasn't drawn by Ethan Van Sciver.
Right, I know. But 2025, half of it was drawn by Ivan Reis. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Damn good
so,
artist.
So, he is. They're both damn good artists. But yeah, it was a really good issue. The second half, right as everybody was coming back to life and it showed everybody started and coming back to life, that I loved. And then, as soon as everybody was back to life, it got really creepy.
Right.
Yeah, I loved all the 2-page spreads in this book. Like, every, like, there was 3 2-page spreads in this book, and they were at the perfect points, and they were perfectly drawn. And I liked the little homage to Kyle opening up the fridge with seeing Alex inside. But, yeah, it was definitely a good issue. Like the page where it's showing where the page about the Friends page, where it's showing all the Titans looking at the Titan their Titans memorial, and then the Rogues graveyard, and then the grave of Ted Kord. That page was, I think, the best page in this entire book.
Right.
The best two page spread in the book was Hal showing everybody who died, and then the next page of the next, like, the two panels, like, the next page of Barry just, like, you know, seeing, you know, Ronnie and Ralph and Sue is just, yeah. It was really touching. It was a great issue. And then, like, the next page where it shows the Atom just sitting there because Carter threw the phone and broke it, just sitting there with his head in his hand. I mean, you know, this entire issue was so great. And the second half, I hate it for creeping me out. But it's still a great issue. And it's a good kickoff to the story. And I'm hoping the creepiness tones down. Like here's the deal. Before I read this issue, I read Legion of Three Worlds number 4 because I hadn't picked that up yet. And I read that, I'm like, this is how a story should be written. And then I read this, and I'm like, I don't want to go to sleep tonight.
The opposite.
So yeah. Right.
What's your final number on that?
It's an A, 4.5 stars, I guess. And I'm just about to go fetal right now.
Oh, why?
I think I should switch the page.
So all right, so I guess our final grade here will be a 4.5 here, point stars or 7 or 9. I don't know our grade's been screwed. We'll just give it an A, an F and A.
Awesome.
Oh, there
yeah,
we go.
A for awesome. We're good.
F and A.
All right, we're gonna move on over to the moving on to Blackest Night Tales of the Core. We get three wonderful tales here. Well, one really good tale, one okay tale, and I don't know.
What confused the shit out of me?
Yeah. So basically we get the origin of Saint Walker, a little talk about Mongol during his early days, and of course we finally get to meet the Indigo tribe. Well, we're all going to ignore Mongol, so...
Aww. It was Tomasi's only one thing he wrote in there.
I know.
Sadly, it was the weakest part of the issue.
He created Mongol. Show Mongol respect.
It was decent. I just don't think we needed an origin.
It was decent, but it was the weakest part of the issue, in my opinion. It was good, but everything else was, I guess, better.
Right.
I don't think it was weak, but it was the weakest part of the issue.
No, I'm not saying it's weak. I'm just saying it was the weakest part of the issue.
Right. I mean, it's a little interesting seeing, you know, the young Mongol, you know, kind of how he, you know, just envied his father, thought they would rule side by side, him taking all the dead skeletons and dressing up like superheroes and bashing them in, and then, of course, the aliens crashing was really cool, and he just basically goes, enough talk, welcome to my plan, now let's get to work. And then his dad comes over and just says, what are you doing?
Because we've never really gotten an origin story on Mongol. I mean, even if you look back in the Showcase 95 arc where Tomasi introduced him, I was saying, like, well, the first time we saw him was in Showcase 95 where Tomasi it's the first appearance of Mongol, where you see him as Mongol the Second, that is, where you see him as a baby, and you don't see him again for some time until he's brought back in. I think it's the not during the Our Worlds at War, but just before it, like several months before, we see him. He meets Superman and he helps train Superman for the coming of Imperiex.
With Eye of the Tiger playing in the background.
Yes, that's kind of appropriate.
Okay.
And we don't really see an origin story for him. We never really get into any kind of story that really tells us what's driving him, what's his motivation. And we can kind of assume that it's just to kind of live up to the idea of what his father was, but we never really see that. And this does kind of show us that a little bit. So I think it was necessary to help us really round him out as a character, but it is the weakest part of the issue itself. Not because it's bad, but it's because the other ones are much more, I don't know, relevant to what's going on right now, or just more exciting. Like, obviously, everyone wants to see the Indigo Tribe. It's been buzzed about for months and months.
We needed it.
Right.
Yeah. Really, at this point in Green Lantern, Mongol, at this point right now, doesn't really matter that much.
Well, of course he matters. He's
just some guy trying to take over the Sinestro Corps.
He's already taken it over. Sinestro still has to take it back over.
Half
it's kind of split.
Right, but it's the Sinestro Corps.
No, he unified.
That's important.
unified the core, didn't he? Well, I guess there was a few guys around Sinestro that one time we saw him last.
Yeah, and they were at the Zamron, which is, you know, what was shown in Blackest Night 1 there, and we know that'll get covered in the main Green Lantern title, so.
But it seems much, by far, that Sinestro has the Splinter Cell, and Mongul has the lion's share of the Sinestro Corps.
Right. I mean, it is. I mean, the origin, I really kind of like it when, you know, these aliens crash landed on the planet, and he basically says, enough talk, you know, get to work, and then later, you know, here comes dear old dad, and basically he's like, what are you doing, son? Kills him. It's like, now get him back to work. I thought that was perfect, and I think that just was, like, emphasized them. That was, like, the best part of the story.
I do understand, though, that people kind of probably have a lot of Mongul fatigue by now, but whatever. You know.
Right.
His one arm's been beaten into us.
A little bit.
Right. I really like the St. Walker story because, I mean, it was a very tragic story.
We've beaten the dead arm.
The dead arm's been beaten into us.
And then some. And then reattached. Anywho. I really
and then
like
given a proctology exam.
I was going to say earlier, talking about the first story, which is about the origin of St. Walker, I really liked the story. I mean, it was a very tragic story, but I kind of like how he rose from this man kind of like so into his faith to where he loses his faith and he basically becomes the savior of his planet. I mean, it was a really cool story. I really like how he kept
the biblical reference.
Yeah.
He strikes the thing, he's like, where is the Messiah? And then the rain starts and he can see himself in the reflection.
It's like, duh!
Staring at me in the face.
But, yeah.
And he saved his people.
Yeah, he really did. And I did like how he's basically telling Lair Flea, he's like, oh, screw you, man, you can't take hope. You know, you want my ring? Fine, go ahead.
I started to wonder, like, where is this going to be finished? Because we know, based on images, that Green Lantern's going to show the fight between the Sinestros and the Star Sapphires, but where's Lair Flea's versus the Hope Lanterns going?
Right.
Yeah, it's a good
question. Or is it going to be a dual feature in Green Lantern where it's one part of that war and another part of that war?
It kind of picks up from a cliffhanger and then ends on a cliffhanger and doesn't really advance things too much.
No, it just flushes out the character's story like it did with Mongo.
It was finished in Little Lantern's number, I don't remember which one, where Ganthet goes up to the rest of the guy and says, dude, what the hell?
Now, I think the most interesting thing is, you know, finally we get the Indigo tribe here. And, you know, Jeff kept telling us, you know, they're not who you think. I mean, truth be told, the true version of compassion is you walk in another man's shoes. But them basically, you know, taking on the attributes of, you know, the Green Lantern of 3544 and then basically doing a mercy kill and, you know, using will. And then later taking the attributes of the Sinestro Corps member and pretty much scaring him out of there and, you know, just absorbing all the powers like there's no tomorrow.
That's the one thing, though. We don't know if he's a mercy killer or not. He was already on the ground. He was already, like, half beaten to death. We don't know if he was already going to die of natural causes or not.
Right.
Compassion is compassion. I don't know.
Kevorkian is compassion to some people.
Right.
I don't want to toot my own horn, but I think that pretty much they are exactly what I expected. I mean, if everything we see here is what it looks like it is, then they're exactly what I thought they would be.
I still say you should have took the stab and stabbed it into the eye.
Beat his head in with the back of it.
Yeah, just
I'll show you walking in your shoes.
Nook. I just love that. Unable to translate. I'm actually going to turn to Wes here because I know Wes has been waiting for the Indigo Tribe more than any of us. Wes, what were your thoughts on this?
I was disappointed in them. I love the language. I love the fact that I don't know what the hell they're saying. Because, you know, I'm adding my own little dialogue in there and it's hilarious. But,
The Indigo Tribe as written by West.
Hold on, dude, you gotta do this. You gotta put online what you think they're saying, just type it up and we can put that in for ourselves. It'll be hilarious.
I will read that.
I would totally read that.
I didn't quite get what she did to the Green Lantern.
Smothered him.
And neither did I.
She strangled him, basically cut off his hair.
She touched his chest. And took on
Will as her ring says, and then you know she created a construct, and then you know suffocated him.
Yes, it's plain. It's plain to see.
Suffocating. I just see it. I mean, I just see it as over his mouth. I don't.
He couldn't breathe. Stop moving.
The next panel, you see it wrapping around his head,
and he's actually clawing at her arm at her tattoo.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see him clawing. I see him.
He should have used his will to, like, this is for rear mercy. He's like, punch in the face.
Well, in fact, his fingers are even smudging the paint.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
He's clawing her so much that his fingers are smearing the paint on her arm.
Yeah, and Indigo just keeps going.
You can see his legs kicking up. You can see his legs kicking up as he, yeah.
As the Sinestro Corps members looking at him.
Either way, I love the Indigo Lantern. I just like the idea. Did you see that construct she made?
I don't even know
what the heck that is.
Blah, 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 blah.
It's some kind of horrible space monster.
We are the three-headed monster!
Actually, my home country of Kazakhstan, those three-headed monsters are very common.
I'm pretty sure, in the script, it would just, just make a big fucking scary monster that shows up and scares
the hell out of them.
If you think that'd be confusing, just imagine like one of those like mythological creatures like the 100-handed giant. 100 arms, 100 heads.
Right.
Better on that.
Where does he keep
them? I do have
on the shoulders.
Yes, 100-handed giant. His name of my cousin.
Anyhow, what's what you were saying there?
Echo. Okay, it's gone.
Yes.
Whoa.
It's gone. Anyhow, West.
Yes. I gotta agree with you, Ryan. Walker had the best story in this. I loved it. It was hilarious. It was predictable, but still good, and the art was all right. I couldn't tell the people apart. Not that I tried. I was trying to read it fast, but
Walker Holy Ranger.
I love the little sun part where they're on the little rail, and what was it? And the kid says something about God. You know, you read it.
He's like, he provided for us, and then he eats the poisonous apple.
And then he goes,
no, not that part. Not the part where he dies.
That was sad.
That part.
He provided.
He provided. No, I love it. Dad, I'm thirsty. Have faith, Jet.
It was, what, the second or third page where they're on the walk. And
oh.
Yeah, and the sister or the mother says something smart. I just thought it was funny. I love that story. I thought it was pretty much predictable that the fact that his whole family would die. But, I thought it was great. Mongo bored the crap out of me. I'm sorry. These were all pretty much predictable, but it bored me. Like, I didn't even see it as necessary. I didn't care about his past. He was a bad guy. Why do I need to care? He was going to die somewhere in this.
No one needs to have personality. They just need to exist.
Not him. I mean, somebody has to have personality, but Mongo is the last person I care about. So, it's got nothing to do with the last.
John Mossy write comics just for you.
Well, yes, he does. The whole world revolves around me, in case you forgot.
Oh,
Lantern West, you are chosen for your great humility. Welcome to the Sarcasm Corps.
Nuke, knock, nuke.
It's like in Weird Al's Amish Paradise. Well, I know I'm a million times as humble as thou art.
All right. So anyhow, so if you graded the three stories there, West, what order would you put them in?
Indigo first, Walker second, and Mongo way last. No offense to Chris Somney, because I love his art.
I think it is a big offense to Chris Somney. I think you hate Chris Somney as a person.
Well, he just likes euthanizing people.
Oh, jeez.
I love Chris Somney. I check his blog every now and then, but...
And you're like, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this.
Yeah.
I hate this shit!
Anywho.
It's not my fault, it sucks.
Why are you always writing this stuff? I don't care about Mongo. I hate this.
Was that Tomasi?
Yeah, it was Tomasi. He wrote it.
That's surprisingly. Like, I would figure John's would be, you know, wiped out by now. Look how many stories he's done. But, yeah. That was terrible. Mongo should, he just, that shouldn't have happened.
I hate this shit.
And Andrew, what about your order of the three stories?
I would probably go Indigo first, St. Walker second, Mongol third, but still a very respectable story. I mean, I guess I'm wondering what Wes didn't like about it, and what did it do wrong? I mean,
it's just an asshole.
I understand that he feels that it might not be necessary, but what did it do wrong? Where did it go left where it should have gone right? I mean,
was it funny? No. Okay. Was it exciting? No. Did it intrigue you? Did you say, "Oh my God, that's a part of his character that I really needed to know"? Okay. No, it's.
Hold on. Do you have sand in your vagina? Yes.
If there had to be a Mongol origin where he's a young boy and we see how his motivations are formed, what would you have rather seen then? Assuming that had to be a given. That there had to be a story like this.
This is a perfectly fine origin. It's just something I would not want to read.
Okay.
It's like Superman falling from Krypton to Earth. It's just not intriguing.
Does it sort of like it sort of feels like?
Yeah, but
like, it was being shoved down your throat.
But it's not like he had any character defining moments when he fell from the Earth. I mean, that's not apples to apples.
He cures cancer in a tie, but he forgets it due to a head injury. He's super baby that got an injury.
Was this a character defining arc to you? This was crap.
Yes, it was.
I mean, it shows that he's trying to live up to his father's example, and then he's.
Are you really going to be thinking about that when he's getting his butt whooped by Sinestro?
Yes. No, I'm going to say Sinestro, go!
You're going to be thinking about the last 30 issues of GLC where he was ripping eyeballs out and dropping them all over the sky. And
but
all
you
want
to know why he was ripping eyeballs out and dropping them all over the sky.
Yeah, I mean, you think about all the most murderous, villainous characters there are, of course.
Can I not just say he was a bad guy?
Yes, there is some villains.
Can he not be the Joker of the GLC? I mean,
Joker has his reasons. Some
Joker
does not psychosis.
All right, guys, all right.
The Joker has his reasons, but the thing is, like, we don't really get the Joker's reason. We don't get the Joker's backstory, and that's the most intriguing part of the Joker. But Mongo's not the Joker.
Yeah, I mean,
he's more of
like
the evil star of the GLC.
There's characters.
Evil star is the evil star of the GLC.
Yes.
There's characters that have origins, and there's characters that are more of like forces of nature. Mongo kind of is a force of nature, but he's not like Doomsday in that he's just this mindless force of evil. But
Before this arc.
Even Doomsday got an origin story, and it was pretty good. I mean, why can't Mongo get the same?
He can get it. I just didn't like it.
Because you're not.
So there is something.
I think what you're trying to say is you didn't like that you had to read it because you got
I
mean, I'm trying to figure out why you didn't like it, but I get that you don't think it needed to be done. But
story's not the problem. You just don't like Mongol,
right?
Maybe that's what it is.
It's both. The story sucks. It's not my.
All right. Well,
let's
move on all that. All right. You. What about you with the three stories?
Three stories and having to rank them. Well, I'd have to stick with the flow and go with Indigo, then St. Walker, then Mongol. I like the Mongol story, but we were more needing the Indigo thing was the most highest thing for me because we had nothing on them. They had only to go up. We needed something, and this was actually quite surprising. You think compassion, you think healer, you don't think, oh, you're dying, let me put you out of your misery.
Can I talk about Mongol a little bit more?
Go ahead. Just let me know when I talk.
I love Mongol. I love Mongol. I love Mongol. I love Mongol.
I'm just
character defined. Character defined. Character defined.
I'm just
sucks. Sucks.
Anywho, continue.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. Anyhow, you.
You can't.
Is that why Herman Hall and Kyle are so much? I love Mongol. I love Mongol. You get chill. You get chill. You get chill.
St. Walker story, we needed an origin, at least one Blue Lantern, to understand where they're coming from. And we see a lot of this here. We see a highly religious man, a spiritual leader even, it seems. And he's leading his family. He loses everything, but he perseveres in this hope. And even when it seems like he's got it at his worst, he still manages to find hope and continue on. And that's what kind of leads him to this destiny. And when he's told his, basically what's going to happen to him, he doesn't have a problem because he has so much hope. He's happy to just lead people on in that hope to his very last breath.
Right.
And I felt that was pretty important. And Mongol, it's not that it was the worst or anything. It was just, frankly, we needed more on these other two cores because we had a lot of development in the Sinestro core already.
Right.
I really enjoyed it, and it was interesting to see, like, his motives. Like, he wanted to emulate his father, whether his sister was more – she cared about family. He was more about taking his father's place eventually and coming to power on his own. But he still idolized his father. Which is why he did all these things. He acted like him. He made up this little people. And everything was just torn away from his father, but he didn't really hate him so much as he was just like, it's going to be my turn one day.
Yeah.
Right.
I liked all of it.
Hmm. And what about you, Ray?
All right. To keep on the flow, I'll say Indigo 1, the Blue Lantern 2nd, and Mongol 3rd. I did enjoy the Indigo part was short and sweet. It showed us a glimpse of who they are. What their power basically is, and it was good. I enjoyed it and I liked it. The Blue Lantern one, the Satan Walker one was a good origin story. But the one thing I sort of don't understand is the fact that it was already established and before that it takes about what. It takes about 3 days for a Blue Lantern to be chosen. It has to be done by Ganthet and Zed. And yet, I saw them nowhere.
No. That already happened because...
It's assumed that they'd be watching them all this time.
Yeah, I suppose. I assume they were watching them. It did take them about 4 days to get to where he needed to get. So, I retract my statement. But
if they were watching, wouldn't they be
done
like
something.
Bad people for letting them die?
It's like God saying, like, hey, it's your time, it's your time.
The Guardians are horrible, horrible people.
That's why Scar's ripping out their hearts.
It's against nature to save every single living thing at the expense of letting them live their lives.
Prime directive.
Right.
Star.
Do not interfere with
development of non-warp capable species.
Anyhow.
You must construct initial pylons.
So yeah, so I really like that second story. I mean, first story is really good. The whole cursing at God, it was great. And then I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot more. The Mongol storyline, unlike West, I really liked it. It was good. It was a good character development story. It was good, understanding where he's coming from as a piece by itself. I can read it and go, it's good. As a piece inside the Green Lantern core, Tales of the Core book, it wasn't needed. The book could have done without it, and we could have had a little bit more, I guess, like, at least, like, two pages more of the Indigo tribe, just so I can understand a little bit more about them.
Thank you.
I feel like I don't even know.
Wait. I didn't say the story sucked like you did, though. I enjoyed the story. It was well written. I liked it.
It's perfectly fine if it wasn't in this book.
It sucked.
See, I feel like we don't even really understand the Red Lanterns. I'd like to see a look
true.
At them.
That's very true. I know we are going to see more about them. Yeah,
that's what you think.
We could have used more Dexstar.
Yeah, Dexstar.
Yes.
Or at least that guy who ripped through all the freaking
vice.
There is a dark Dexstar story coming, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, yeah.
But the guy who
Vice.
Who was
Vice? Yeah, yeah.
Vice.
Yeah, what happened to him?
Yeah, we could at least get a story out of him. I mean, I remember they said like they killed his lover or something, and he wanted vengeance.
Most of that core just hates Sinestros.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, well.
Bunch of Sinestro-hating bastards. What's wrong with Sinestro?
All right.
They hate off. It's cool.
And
what's wrong with Hitler?
Space Hitler.
Okay, man. Boy, it's getting late here. Anyhow, and Kulan, what about you on the three stories?
I guess I didn't read the Indigo story that thoroughly because I read it. I read the entire book in, like, you know, 8 minutes so that I could do the Kulan reviews. But I actually have to go St. Walker, Indigo, Mongol.
He broke the pattern.
He did break the pattern. Breaking
combo
the mold.
Combo breaker.
Ultra combo.
Finish.
Finish him. Anyways.
Yeah, it's after midnight. What the hell?
Araptaptar, you can. Kamehame Hadoken.
Anyhow, okay. Yes, go on.
Get to the point. It's been 3 hours.
Yes.
I played Mew. I'm sleeping. I like the,
it's been all over my screen.
Okay, we're all getting loopy now. Kuhan, as you said, you liked.
Shut up and I will. I like the issue as a
It doesn't mean reply.
Tiger uppercut.
Tiger destruction.
Too hot.
And I'll form the head. I like the
I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Stop it.
I can't remember what that was from.
Voltron!
Defender of the Universe!
Oh, God! What the hell is going on tonight? Anyhow, it's the damn space. It's the space. It's the stardust from the Indigo Tribe. Anyhow.
Nine, I felt on episode.
On episode what?
On episode 8 when Ryan was gone and I had to do the hosting. Yes. Oh, God.
Okay, anywho.
Okay.
Let Kuan speak.
Yes.
I'm waiting.
My cheeks hurt.
God.
I'm grinning.
I'm staying.
I'm going to die laughing.
Okay. I liked the issue as a whole.
Andrew, you're killing us on the inside.
Okay.
I like the issue as a whole. I said that just... Okay.
I'm trying to breathe.
Everybody mute their mics but Kuhan.
I like the issue as a whole. You know, the St. Walker story was... it was a good origin story, and I really liked... you know, it was definitely predictable, but I liked it nonetheless. The Mongol story, like everyone else is saying, it was a little off for me. You know, I mean, it was good, but, you know, I don't think it was really necessary. And, let's see, what else? Oh, the Indigo. Right. I liked that I couldn't understand the Indigo story. I didn't like that I couldn't understand the Indigo story. Like, I didn't get it. Like, I think I must have missed a page or something, because I think I missed something important. But, you know, it was definitely pretty good. We learned something about them. I know that's for sure.
It's like a silent...
I'm just not really sure what we learned about them.
It's like a silent movie.
We learned they don't have rings.
Yes, they do.
They do have rings.
They do have rings.
It's on their fingers, and they talk.
What?
You gotta look close.
They're right, they are there. Anywho.
So we learned that they do have rings. Ooh. Yeah. All in all, it was a pretty good issue, but I'm not really sure how to feel about it.
Mm. Well, I'm kind of the same.
Oh, there it is.
Yep, there it is. He found it. There it is! Anywho.
Where's Waldo?
The more you know.
Knock. Anywho. Anywho, so I'm actually kind of like with Kuhan. I mean, I really like the Indigo Tribe, but I mean, the St. Walker story kind of got a little bit more to me, so I like that. And I kind of agree with everybody else about kind of Mongol. It was good, but here in this book, no. I think I rather would have gotten Dexstar Now or Vice or gotten an Orange Lantern out of this or even gotten Warth's story too. So I'll just leave it at that. So, I mean, it was good. I'm looking forward to the other two issues, and we'll just leave it at that.
Very blooper heavy episode.
You have no idea. I don't know when the hell I'm going to edit this. Anywho.
I could actually pull my cheeks so, numb from last.
Finally, moving on to the last two sections, we're going to play Name That Blackest Night Character. So, guys, get ready. Please do not answer until I call upon you. Ray?
Yeah.
Mew.
Anywho. Ryan's going to shame us again.
Yes. Anywho. Ugh, okay, let's see if I can think of my questions. I completely, like, blanked right now. Okay, now I remember. Okay, this Blackest Night character is very unknown and tends to do a lot of walking on air. Kuhan.
Walking on air.
Yes.
Blackest Night character, unknown, walking on air.
Yes.
But if it's unknown, how do we?
No. Their history is unknown.
The indigo chick.
Ray?
That unknown Green Lantern that has wings and no legs.
Mew.
I'll go with that unknown Green Lantern.
West.
Indigo.
And finally. And finally, Andrew.
Is it like any character, or is it a Black Lantern?
No. The character we're seeing in Blackest Night.
That walks on air?
Yes.
Oh, crap. I forgot that part. Oh, the bird. The indigo bird.
Wait. It was Andrew's turn, West.
God, shut up.
The indigo bird. The indigo bird.
And the answer is the indigo bird.
Sweet. I win.
What's not fair? What the hell? I don't know anymore. What am I doing? I like forgot my questions. It's so freaking late. Okay, second question. Oh God, what the hell was my second question? I don't remember anymore. Okay, this Blackest Night character was. This Blackest Night character, no one ever seems to know what to do with this character or their partner, and they just like to die a lot. And
I'm going to go with Ralph and Sue Dibny.
West.
Or the Hawk Girl.
The Hawks.
Mew.
Hawks. Ham Hawks.
No, the Hawks.
Ray.
Alexander DeWitt and Jenny Hayden, or whatever her name is.
They're partners?
Oh. Okay, and Kuhan.
Batman and Robin. No, the Hawks.
And the answer is the Hawks.
The Hawks.
All right, and now the final one. Now, this one actually I have written down here, because this is a good trivia question here. All right.
Really into Ralph and Sue?
$4,000.
Yes, and the bonus. This
must be in the form of a question.
Yes, this Blackest Night character was known to operate around Central City during the days of the original Flash. They had two children. One of them was retconned out, and the other one, and then the other one went on to take on the legacy, even though the character just really didn't like him and actually gave all his money to Wally West. West. What is your answer?
If anyone should know this, it should be you.
Yeah. That's why I went to you first.
I'm afraid if I get it wrong, I'm never going to be respected again.
Wait.
Throw some testes.
Give me a minute.
Okay, I'll go to Andrew. Andrew.
He's Googling it.
Is it Professor Zoom?
Musard.
No.
Professor Zoom?
No.
Ray?
What should I know?
Oh, Captain Boomerang.
No.
Kuhan.
Ooh, I'm torn between two, but I'm going to go with Ralph Dibny.
Ralph Dibny, what the hell? Oh, God. Where the hell did that come from? Anyhow. All right. And
I think Gene Loring.
All right. Nice. Wes, have you your final answer?
Ralph.
You guys all need sleep. It's the original Icicle.
Who?
The original Icicle.
Yeah.
Who?
Who the hell's that?
You know, the chick that absorbs ambient heat.
No, the one with the original ice gun. But his son's the one who took on the heat. You know?
Captain Cold.
Cal Boomerang.
No, it's Icicle. It's the original Icicle.
He just what?
General Disarray.
That's why I wrote
West. He didn't know that, West?
I'm General Disarray.
Yeah, West knows it now because he's like,
terrible.
It's late.
So who's where in the scores?
Right now,
number one with a billion points.
I'm winning.
Yeah, Wes is winning by one. Andrew is close behind, followed by Kuhan, and Ray and Mew are kind of are way down at two.
Way down at two.
And Ryan's winning with a bajillion points because he made the questions.
And he completely screwed up the first two because he's half asleep. Anyhow, one final thought here before we question. We're going to do a quick speed round. What do you think is the story? What do you think Black Can has got with the Batman skull? We'll go with Andrew first. Quick lightning round here.
Okay. I'm really wondering because I'm not really convinced that it's actually Batman's body that we saw at the end of Final Crisis. But yet it seems like, obviously, that Black Can has his skull for a certain purpose. And it seems like rings are able to come through the mouth of the skull, whether it's, I don't know, I think it's like a... Somehow, and I think it has to do with the way Batman died, with Darkseid and the Omega Sanction. Not that that's really death, but whatever. Somehow that's created a kind of a nexus, just the way that he died, and it's enabling kind of a gateway or a shortcut to quickly pull rings for Black Hand, rather than having them all have to come from Sector 666 and, you know, wait a while for them to arrive. I think it's able to quickly make them appear for them, for him. That's my theory. I don't know. I still don't know if that's his body, though. I don't know.
All right. And West.
It's just the fuck with fans. Batman's not coming back during
exactly
Dragon's
right. It's
Night.
Just the fuck with.
But Black Hand should know.
I get it.
Way to go.
special. Congratulations.
Black Hand doesn't know anything.
How did he find
the guy who shot himself?
How did he find his grave, then? If he didn't know where Batman was buried or who Batman was.
That's the bigger bads telling him to do that.
The big bad is inside
that's
him
Mr.
Now.
Big.
It's not that hard to find out. I mean, you say, oh, there's Hal Jordan, there's Barry Allen. Who's that empty grave next to Thomas and Martha Wayne? Where the hell has Bruce Wayne been for the last couple of months?
Why would Black Hat even care about that?
Why did Bruce Wayne and Batman die at the exact same time?
I think we found out during this issue that Black Hand's clearly homosexual, and Bruce Wayne is...
He'll just fuck anything that's dead.
Yeah, that's what I got. That's what I got.
He's a necrophiliac.
Yeah, he is. He's necrophiliac.
He'd screw a horse
he's
dead.
He's a gay necrophiliac.
But anyway.
It's Bruce Wayne. He's sexy even as dead.
He's bisexual.
He's a homo necrosexual.
Oh, wow, it is way too late. Wow.
He's a curious.
He's just my curious.
But, I mean, even if that wasn't Batman's dead body, there's still something special about that body if he's able to use that skull.
You know what I think?
And I still don't think it'll be so.
This is a little long for a lightning round, isn't it?
Yeah, anyhow. And Musar, what do you think on that?
I think it's Anthro's skull from when he went back in time to the first man. If that is indeed the first man's skull, that has some significance in death.
Why would it be buried there if it was Anthro's skull?
He got switched out. Remember, he went kind of flashed up, and then it showed him at Anthro's time. Wouldn't it make sense that at some point some residual effect from the Omega Sanction sent his body forward in time?
If that's the Omega Sanction, then we could have got any dead body from any of those terrible paths that Bruce is supposedly going through. So Anthro could be Thomas for all we know.
That's true. What about you, Ray?
Well, those are good ones. I have no idea. I do agree with Andrew that the body's special in some way. I have no idea what it is. I do also agree with him that I don't believe it's the actual true Batman's body. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, these whatever is talking to the Black Hand is, you know, pointing out their actual name. Yeah. You know, he's telling them, you know, Clark Kent, all yada yada yada. It said Bruce Wayne. So in a way, it's his body, but it could not be his body. The funny thing is that, you know, thinking about it during this whole multiverse, I honestly think it could be Earth 2 Batman's body.
True. Well, what about you, Kuhan?
Okay, I think that is Batman's body, and the thing, it's there's some sort of connection between that's Batman's body and Batman's soul's like in the past or something like that. I don't know. So
we're not
like,
doing a Captain America here.
What?
Reborn, yeah. Captain America.
Well,
Reborn.
Let's not get into that.
That's a whole other day.
Yes.
I think it's something like his soul being in the past and he being in the present, like creates some sort of
nexus to the dead.
Nexus to all the dead people, like in
Speaking
between.
Skull ring dispenser.
It's a black ring Pez dispenser. Hey, look, you get cherry.
Somewhere in the past, Batman's just like drooling out black rings. What's going on? Why does this keep happening?
I am a Pez dispenser.
Oh, God. Anywho.
I'm the goddamn Pez dispenser.
There's a little hole in Batman's throat, like when someone who smokes has to get a hole in their throat, like little rings are popping out.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow. I'm literally getting a headache. It's so late. Anyhow. All right. So I think that's it. I don't know.
I don't think there's anything else to talk about.
I don't think there is. Bed, my last antibiotic, and my stitch is getting removed tomorrow. So,
hey,
anyhow.
Why does General Kieran doesn't have a golden hand?
That is a good
I'm so
point.
Serious.
Oh, well. Okay, well,
I told you I got CPR certified today.
There's one last important question we must answer.
What is that?
Why did the final crisis make sense?
Hey, Andrew, what's that thing that we don't understand anymore about?
Final crisis?
Yeah, I think that was it, right?
Yeah.
Ray, all right.
Hold on, wait.
Ray, I'm going to turn this right back around on you. When's that website getting done now?
All right, if you want to send
when's your new podcast coming out?
How come Grant Morrison doesn't make any sense?
If you want to send I got
recording scheduled for Saturday, so screw you.
All right. If you want to say your love, your hate mail, or wonder what the hell we're on half the time on this podcast, please send your email to the to glspotlight@gmail.com. That's glspotlight@gmail.com. And we want to hear from you. Please do. Let us know. If you want to reach us on Twitter, you can find us at twitter.com/glspotlight. Wes keeps us up and going. You can find me at my personal one at Twitter/Avengers Files. That's Twitter Avengers Files. Even though I don't have a website, I just read Dark Avengers. But read Nova.
Avengers
Files. Anyhow, any Kuhan shoutouts?
Twitter.com/Kuhan, YouTube.com/GL Spotlight, YouTube.com/SSJKuhan, realview.mevio.com, coming soon, abridgeprint.mevio.com.
The U.S. Constitution, Magna Carta.
The Quran.
In my spare time, I'm Vanilla Ice.
Wow.
You wondered what happened to him.
Yeah.
I haven't had very much spare time lately, so.
All right. What is his mother saying if dinner's ready? Anyhow, what about you, Ray?
No shout-outs except for all the websites these two just mentioned. Stay tuned. I don't care what Kuhan says. The website will be up. When I'm done with it, damn it.
As soon as Duke Nukem Forever hits the shelves, that website is coming out.
It must be approved first.
Yes. Anyhow,
there will be blood.
Yes. Mew, what about you?
There will be cake.
Well, like all secrets being revealed, he revealed his truthless Vanilla Ice, and I am Sir Mix-a-Lot. Baby got back.
Do you like big butts?
I like big butts, and I cannot lie.
And West?
If he wastes a pound big in your face.
They get sprung.
Sprung! West?
Hit it and quit it. Make sure to visit speedstersite.proboards.com, twitter.com/speedstersite for all the flash news.
Herbert hit that.
Be sure to check out thegreenlanterncorps.com. Please leave us an iTunes review if you can. It's free of charge. Don't worry.
But donate to us as well.
Please donate. If you got it, give it.
We have to keep these special guest calls coming. They don't like using Skype.
Wait, where does that money go?
You.
The West Foundation. The West Foundation.
It needs to go to the Kuhan Foundation for getting his comics on time.
The Chronic Fund.
It needs to go to the Kuhan Foundation for getting you all muscles.
And Andrew?
I only got two. www.thegreenlanterncorps.com for all of your Green Lantern needs, and www.youtube.com/NeoDevilBane for some Green Lantern videos.
Here's my question. How come sometimes West does the his personal Twitter, and sometimes he does the speedster site Twitter?
He's schizo. He has two personalities.
What happened to the Wally's blog?
I update that thing on an irregular basis. I don't need them looking at stuff from 2 months ago. So
right.
When it's updated, I plug it. When it's not. And as for my personal Twitter, I block that. I got too many porn people coming to look at me.
All the bitches love West.
You made that up.
Oh, God. good night, everybody.
Green Lantern, Green Lantern Corps, property of DC Comics, and do not reflect the authenticity of this podcast. This is Ryan Reed, bidding you adieu once more, Green Lantern fans. Good night.
So I figure as a fun little post-credits thing, I might as well play each of our individual little Black Lantern oaths. So, yeah, here they are, right here. I guess I'll narrate which one's which. So, enjoy. Alright, first up we have Ryan.
The blackest night falls from the skies. The darkness grows as all light dies. We crave your hearts and your demise. By my black hand, the dead shall rise!
And now we have Andrew.
The blackest night falls from the skies. The darkness grows as all light dies. We crave your hearts and your demise. By my black hand, the dead shall rise.
And of course, you can't have black without West.
The blackest night falls from the skies. The darkness grows as all light dies. We crave your hearts and your demise. By my black hand, the dead should rise.
And here's Mew's stupid little voice.
The blackest night falls from the skies. The darkness grows as all light dies. We crave your hearts and your demise. By my black hand, the dead shall rise.
And of course, since we did that, well, just listen to Ray's.
The blackest night falls from the skies. The darkness grows as all light dies. We crave your hearts and your demise. By my black hand, the dead shall rise.
And, of course, we have yours truly and all my awesome, awesome leet voice hackingness.
The blackest night falls from the skies. The darkness grows as all light dies. We crave your hearts and your demise. By my black hand, the dead shall rise.
So, yeah, everybody, thanks for listening to the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast, and we hope to check you out next time. And I had to edit this thing. Well, part of it. I put all the post effects of it in there, because Ryan's busy doing stuff and Andrew's going to Comic-Con. So I had to do it. Screw you guys.